It is great to be with you tonight. I love Christmas Eve, love everything about Christmas Eve, and one of my favorite things about Christmas Eve is being able to come to the Christmas Eve service and spend some time sharing with you about this great event called Christmas. One of the things that I've discovered over the years is that it is impossible to have authentic communication with someone if you do not have a shared understanding of the words being spoken. I mean, can we all agree there? I mean, if you don't have a shared understanding of the words, it is difficult to have authentic communication. Now, sometimes the communication can't take place because the word choice is poor. For instance, when I was a seminary student, I was in a Walgreens as a stock boy. It was a high moment for me. I enjoyed working the stock at Walgreens, and my assistant manager was having a difficult time trying to get the shelf in the rack when she was doing the setup. So she asked me if I would do it for her, and I did. Did it really pretty quick, and she looked at me like I was some kind of, you know, Walgreens stock boy savant. You know, and so I thought, well, this is a good opportunity for me to be falsely humble. And so I said to her words that made perfect sense for the rural person that I am. I grew up in rural America. That is my background. So I said to her when she was getting ready to compliment me on how quick I could do this, I said to her, well, you just weren't holding your mouth right. And she looked at me like I was talking Martian. Very much like some of you are looking at me right now. You have no idea what it is that I mean, and I don't have time to explain it to you, but trust me, it is golden-tongued eloquence if you're from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So sometimes the words are poor in choice. There are other times that communication can't take place because the words get muddled in some way. I'm kind of at the muddled stage of my life. One of the things that I've discovered over the past few years is that people mumble more. At least I think they're mumbling. I can't hear them very well. And we had a horrifying moment in my family this past Monday morning. Julie and I had to make a quick trip out of town, and so we pulled into the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Because we're Baptist, we eat chicken, you know, morning, noon, and night. So we pulled into the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and I gave my order, and I relayed my wife's order. And then the person on the other side of the speaker said to me, according to my wife, said to me, does that complete your order? And I said back to her, Derek. I swear to you, I thought she was asking my name. Apparently not. I did think it was weird she was asking my name in a drive-thru, but I went with it, and it was not a great moment for the marriage or for my well-being in general. So sometimes the words are messed up because they're muddled in some way. But sometimes you can have clarity in hearing. I can say words, you can hear them clearly, but we have a different understanding of those words' definition and what they mean. Take, for instance, a phrase that I have been saying a lot this past week, especially these last 24 hours. Merry Christmas. When I say Merry Christmas to the checker at Price Chopper or to somebody who is waiting on me at a restaurant somewhere, they could hear a traditional holiday greeting. It's just Christmas time, and this is something that people say at Christmas time, and they put it right up there with Happy Thanksgiving or Happy New Year or Happy Valentine's Day. It's just the traditional greeting that you give when you're at the time of Christmas. But when I say Merry Christmas, I mean something different. When I say Merry Christmas, I mean a king has come. A king has come. You know, as I've gotten older, the aspect of my faith that has become the most important to me is the fact that because I follow Jesus, I'm a citizen of a kingdom that will never end because of the eternally victorious Savior that leads it. I'm a citizen of a kingdom that is not part of this world, that will never end, because the king that I follow is an eternally victorious king. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but this has not really been a banner year for being calm, cool, and collected. This past year has been a year that has been filled with fear for a lot of people. And it is the end of a chain of years that have been filled with fear for a lot of people. And one of the things that I've noted is that people who follow Jesus have been swept up in that fear. And for me, one of the things that has quieted my heart in a not great year has been the truth that I'm a citizen of a kingdom that will never end because of an eternally victorious king. Isaiah, a man who lived hundreds of years before Christ, actually had a vision of that coming of the king, that eternally victorious king. And so he talks about this child who was a king in a passage of scripture called Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it." You know what Isaiah was saying? Isaiah was saying that there is a kingdom that is about to be inaugurated on this earth that will go on forever, that will be eternal, because there is going to come to that kingdom a king who is eternally victorious. And he describes all of that in really pretty simple language. He gives us four descriptions of this king who is coming. He tells us that this king will be wonderful, mighty, eternal, and that he will actually be peace. Now, the first two of those things, wonderful and mighty, actually communicate or indicate wisdom. In Scripture, the word wonderful indicates supernatural abilities, and the word counselor refers to someone who is able to make plans. And so when Isaiah is looking out into this kingdom that is coming, he is saying it's going to be led by someone who has a supernatural capacity to make plans and institute them. Now, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the life that you live. How different would your life be? What different kind of quality of life would you have if you knew that you were being led by a king who had a supernatural ability to counsel you and to help you navigate the perils of life? Would that not be something that could calm you when life is difficult? And then he goes on to tell us that this king is worthy. He talks about the peace that he will bring, and that his worthiness to bring that peace is really overwhelming. He says that he is the mighty God, and he has the strength, therefore, to maintain the peace. He is the eternal Father with the longevity and the compassion to keep the peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So this king that is my king is a king who has a capacity to give me counsel as I navigate life. And he is a king who has a capacity by his own strength to give me peace. And there may be the cynic or the skeptical person among us right now who is saying, "Well, Derek, he came 2,000 years ago. And the reason that your year's not been so great is because there's no peace in our world." And I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But you need to understand something about this kingdom. This kingdom comes quietly. How do we know that? Well, it was instituted in a barn. with no other people to observe but the parents and the livestock. It's instituted quietly, and it begins to take root first in the human heart. When I surrendered myself to this King as my Savior, when I signed up to be a part of the kingdom, that King who has the capacity to advise and that King that has the capacity to provide peace in himself took up residence in me. And because he took up residence in me, that kingdom is starting here. That's how the kingdom starts. It doesn't start with some bolt in the sky. It doesn't start with the world leaders being overthrown. It starts as it begins to take root in the human heart. But make no mistake about it. This King who came, according to Scripture, is coming again. And when he comes again, Scripture tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, King, to the glory of God the Father. And for someone like me who has surrendered himself to that King and given himself to that kingdom, that will be a joyous moment. But if you haven't, it will be something less than joyous. And so this Christmas Eve and tomorrow Christmas Day, let me encourage you to do something. Let me encourage you between meals and present opening to carve out some time and ask yourself, who is this whose birth we celebrate? And is he my King? And if you want to know more about that King and how he can be yours, I'd be thrilled to talk to you about it. Pastor John, the people you've seen up here would be thrilled to talk to you about it. But the best thing that can happen for you this Christmas is to quit thinking about what you need for Christmas and start thinking about who you need for Christmas. You need, all of us need, a King.